if I was going to put my finger on two things that cause a contract to go out of business, it's leadership and finance. Those two areas are the two that really take some skill development on the leadership side of things and an acumen ability on the finance side of things that most guys don't have, and that's not really where they're focused. We identified that there's really three things we do. We help contractors get control of their business so they can grow their business and get that personal and financial freedom that we're all chasing whenever we start our entrepreneurial journey. And if you don't really strategically position those things, while you can do okay, I don't think you can be great. And that's what we want to do. We want to help contractors be great.
The following is brought to you by Thrive, the end-to-end client experience platform that helps you get the job, manage the job, and get credit.
Hey, this is Gordon Henry at Winning on Main Street, and this week you get to meet Jim Johnson. Jim runs Contractor Coach Pro in New Braunfels, Texas. That's between Austin and San Antonio. He has a passion for helping contractors succeed. He ran his own contracting business for 22 years, ultimately doing over $25 million annually in revenue. Then he helped build a company called Aculence, which was a software company for roofing contractors. And today, Jim runs Contractor Coach Pro, offering one-on-one online coaching services and sales training for contractors. He and his team have worked with something like 700 contractors. Wow. At Contractor Coach Pro. He's also a board member of the Roofing Contractors Association of Texas and founded the Contractor Radio podcast show. You can find him on the wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome, Jim.
Yeah, all that sounded pretty accurate. It's good to be here.
All right. So, Jim, a lot to cover. Excited to talk to you. How did you get into home contracting? Just kind of walk us through your career.
So, kind of funny story. I met a girl. Lived in Texas. She was from Wisconsin, hated Texas. Hey, this is Wisconsin. It's absolutely beautiful. There's rivers everywhere. I'm big into fly fishing. And so she tricked me into moving up there and I had to get a job. So the first job up there was a carpenter's apprentice, helping build custom homes and things like that. Went pretty well. I'd had some previous experience doing contracting stuff with my grandfather. And that went pretty good. And then there was an ad in the newspaper one day for to be a home inspector. That's what it was for. And I answered it. And it was actually doing home service sales is what it was for. So I got in, did really well. I did quite well. In 3 months, they made me their sales manager. And I did that for almost 2 years. And they stiffed me on a bonus. And so I ended up opening my own contracting business based out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, because we lived right across the river, and ended up growing, you know, $25 million a year pretty consistently with 7 locations throughout the nation and doing work all over the place.
That's an awesome story. But then you got out of doing contracting yourself to help others. Why did you make that switch?
So the whole software thing, while I was doing that, I would go in and I would sell these contractors. I got to go in the back office of a little over 1,000 different contractors all across the nation. And I would sell them Aculence, take about an hour. And then for the next 3 or 4 hours, they would grill me on how did I grow the business the way that we did. And I said, hey, you know, there's a need for this. And so at that point, I resigned. I spent the next 3 months with my grandfather. He was in his last 3 months of life and got to spend those last 3 months with him. And he asked me, he's like, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. I just know I resigned. I don't have to work necessarily. And he goes, well, what do you want? You're not going to just sit there. What do you want to do? I said, I want to be a basketball coach. That's what I really want to be. I've been a baseball and basketball coach for about 25 years, all different levels, everything from little kids to Division III college. And he's like, you do realize you're 42 now, right? Like that's, you're not going to get into the college thing at this point. He goes, what do you like about this coaching thing? I said, well, I like seeing people, you know, learn something new, refine that, get better at it, and be successful and, you know, actually win it. So he said, that's what you like. I said, yeah. He goes, well, what are you great at? I said, well, this contracting thing I'm pretty good at. And he goes, why don't you coach that? And he was really the epiphany of the idea. And when I resigned, I had all these phone calls and voicemails. People want me to come their partner and come join their company and stuff like that. So I called a few of them back and I said, how about if I just, you know, give you a hand? I'll meet you with you once a week and we'll see what we can do to improve your business. And it was just two in the beginning, then four, and then eight. And then it just got kind of out of control, more than I could handle, and had to hire other coaches. And it was never really anything intended to be like what it is today, which is pretty cool. It's been a neat thing to do.
So at Contractor Coach Pro, you help other contractors succeed. Do you have a specific system or methodology you use that you can explain?
Well, it's kind of funny. When I first started, I knew some things very, very well from a process and system aspect of things, accountability, leadership and culture, sales and marketing, recruiting and hiring. Like, I knew those things and I was able to help people in those specific areas wherever they were struggling. But there were certain areas I wasn't great at, like finance would be one of them. You don't want me in charge of your checkbook because I like to spend money more than I like to make money. And I knew I needed somebody there. HR was another place that's not my specialty. It just doesn't trip my trigger for whatever reason. And so we coached on all these things, but we kept finding that there was a few pieces missing, like the finance thing and the HR thing. And I didn't really coach on leadership a whole lot because I assumed that you're just a pretty good leader if you're going to go out and be an entrepreneur, which was not accurate. But after about 3 or 4 years of doing it, we came to this epiphany that there's actually 12 components and there's an order to them, and they're broken into two sections. You have foundational DNA and you have operational DNA, if you think of it like the human body. And so the operational side, if you think of like a DNA helix, there's two main backbones of that helix with components that connect the two. Well, operational and foundational are the two backbones. And then you have six components that are foundational and six components that are operational. And most contractors focus on the operational. They focus on marketing, sales. They focus on recruiting and hiring, maybe training if they're lucky. But that's really kind of where they focus their time because that's their background. They come from an area where they were either good at selling it, kind of like I was whenever I got into my own business, or they're good at actually doing the work and the word of mouth thing kind of takes care of them. But they're not really good at business. They're not great at the leadership thing, the culture thing, accountability, finance, HR, all those things that are really important to setting a strong foundation so you can grow an amazing company. And that all became clear. I actually wrote a book about it called The Contractor's Blueprint that's going to be coming out here towards the end of the year. And it's been cool to see all these things happen because they actually happen in order. Like, you can't have a great culture without a good leader. You're not going to have a good process without great culture. And so each one of them works upon itself, and we walk our clients through those things. If they're good in an area, we just kind of tune it up. If they're lacking an area, we work really hard there. And we are hand in hand with them the whole way. Unlike a consultant, where a consultant comes in and says, hey, here's all the bad things that you're doing. You should do this. And they walk away and you pay them a bunch of money. We're kind of hand in hand, and we want to see it all the way through to you being successful.
Now, you've worked with, you know, by this point, hundreds of contractors, if not thousands. What are the typical problems and needs you encounter? What are the areas where they typically fall short?
Two main ones. If I was going to put my finger on two things that cause a contractor to go out of business, it's leadership and finance. Those two areas are the two that really take some skill development on the leadership side of things and an acumen ability on the finance side of things that most guys don't have, and that's not really where they're focused. It's been interesting to kind of see how those things all line up with our clients, because once we kind of nail that leadership thing and they get really what it is that they're after, then we can build everything out from there and be focused on the biggest thing that they're after, which is their dream. We identify that there's really three things we do. We help contractors get control of their business so they can grow their business and get that personal and financial freedom that we're all chasing whenever we start our entrepreneurial journey. And in order to do so, we got to go through those 12 things, make sure they're all clicking together because they all are so related. You think about it, like, your marketing and sales has everything to do with your culture and brand of your business. A lot of people think brand is like this cool logo on my hat or this type of thing. That's not what your brand is. Your brand is your reputation. And if you don't really strategically position those things, while you can do okay, I don't think you can be great. And that's what we want to do. We want to help contractors be great.
What would you say is the biggest difference between a contractor who's doing like $1 million in revenues and the guy who's doing 25, 50 or more million dollars in revenue?
The one that's doing more has uber strong leadership and culture, and they have a process that they follow. They can repeat it over and over again. Where the guy that's not doing as well is normally a very shoot from the hip, very verbal translation of information. 70 to 80% of contractors go out of business in the first 3 years. And the reason for that is because of that lack of leadership, that lack of understanding their finance, what money's theirs and what money isn't. They actually owe money to other people whenever they have work done. So I got to pay those guys first. And so that's, I think, the main difference. The main difference is I've got these processes. I can repeat them over and over again. I can teach them and train them. These guys that are really good, the ones that are in the nine figure numbers, which we've coached a couple of those guys, it's a dedication to that process and the training of that process, making sure and ensuring that it's being followed and improved upon all the time.
Wondering if you can walk us through the economics of a typical contractor's business. I mean, I have this incorrect assumption, I'm sure. You know, I see a contractor, he's got a truck, he's got maybe a couple of trucks, got a couple of employees, he's got a hat with a nice logo like yours. And I think, wow, that guy's doing pretty well. He's making a lot of money, right? But I hear differently. I hear that they aren't doing well. And you just said, I think most go out of business in the first 3 years. So there's a difference between perception and reality. So what are the economics of the typical contractor's business? How many jobs, price per job, profit per job?
It varies all over the place. I mean, you can have contractors that are doing smaller type services. Let's say like a landscaper coming in doing some landscaping. Those are small kind of, you know, it could be as low as $40, $50 to go and mow a lawn, all the way up to these contractors that are doing bigger things like specialty trade roofing and their $100,000, $200,000 projects. So those will vary quite a bit, but margin is one of those things where a lot of guys miss what they should be doing and where they need to be on that margin to cover all these things that are in overhead. I think their approach to their finances, while not necessarily wrong according to the letter of the law, many of us, if you're listening out there, Mr. Contractor, most of us operate off of what's called a cash basis in our business. And it's cash in, cash out, and this is what I got in my bank. But what's in your bank doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the invoices and everything you have going out. They're not related to each other. So we have a false sense of how much money is actually our money. And so we tend to make some bad decisions. Hey, I got a couple hundred thousand dollars in my bank. I can go buy a truck, but $160,000 of that's allocated towards your insurance, your labor, the materials that you have. And so if you're not working in what's called an accrual financial basis, you don't have a real strong picture of what's actually yours. And that keeps us from being able to make strong decisions on maybe those things that we take as risk, like, hey, buying a new truck and putting a big wrap on it and all that other good stuff, that's wonderful. But what's the payoff for that, the return on investment of that risk as compared to what I actually have available to me? And so we strongly encourage people to go accrual as fast as they can so they understand their work in progress. So if you don't understand your work in progress and the money that's going out the door, even though it may not be realized just yet, you can put yourself in a bind pretty quickly.
And you can help them do that with not only training, but software?
We actually have a coach that's specific to finance. She's got about 15 years in contractor finance. She understands both the cash basis and accrual basis. She understands 1099 versus employee, and strategically positions the contractors that we coach with a dashboard and all the financial stuff. That she's actually probably the favorite coach of all of our coaches. Our clients absolutely love her because they end up, once they go through coaching with her, they've got this dashboard that tells them like, hey, this is how much money you have. This is what your expenses are. This is what your profit is. And I can tell you at any point in time on any day, this is exactly how much money is my money, which we all need to know. To run a business effectively and how to measure and forecast budget. She's just absolutely amazing at those things. which is why we went out and incorporated her into our business.
Yeah. So that speaks a little bit to the finance and accounting issue that you said was one of the big areas of focus, one of the big needs. The other one you mentioned was leadership. So that seems a little more, you know, ephemeral, like harder to kind of get your arms around. How do you train people to become leaders, or, you know, turn a non-leader into a leader?
Well, first off, we have to all realize that we are not a great leader. There's very few actual great leaders that are out there, and it's a skill that's gained over time. Anybody can be a leader. If you're a living, breathing human being, it's like any other skill, you can gain it. I think we get a lot of confusion on it, though, to be honest with you. I think there's a billion books out there, 900 podcasts about it. There's all these things about what makes a great leader. And I think it really comes down to, and this is what we coach a lot of our clients on, first off, understanding your strengths and weaknesses. Like, hey, what am I good at? What am I not? And I think a lot of people really focus on improving their weaknesses. And really, that's not where we should focus. That doesn't mean we can't get better at it and do things better on our weaknesses. But I want to go get somebody that does that thing. Like a lot of contractors, especially, they don't like finance. They don't like doing their marketing. So go find somebody that does those things and does them well, and then focus on what you do great. But we think there's a super skill. Like I think the last time I checked, I went and looked at all the different skills that a leader could have. I think I came up with 37 across all the books I've read. And like, who can keep all that straight, right? But it really comes down to one, what we call super skill. It's this ability to connect with your people at a relational level, not at a business level. Actually knowing who they are and understanding where you relate to them and how they relate to you. I think so many of us look at our employees as like this, I don't know, dollar sign or this part of our business that generates revenue and or generates this work product that they do. And the reality is, if they're not on the same page with us, we're going to have a problem in the long run. And so what I mean by that is investing time into knowing what your people are after. Personally, like one of my favorite questions to ask people, you know, what's the perfect life for you 2 years from now or 5 years? It depends on who they are. You know, if they're younger, I usually will stick around 2 years. If they're older, I'll be more like 5 years. But what does that look like? Like, don't tell me the whole, I want to be a sales manager or a general manager or run your business for you or any of that. I get all that, right? But what's the perfect life for you? Is everything paid for? You put your kids through college, you're getting to travel, you get to do this hunting trip that you want. Like, knowing that about the people that work for you, you can then use that as the incentive. That's the incentive. The incentive isn't to see how much money they can make for you and make your business this big business. The incentive is, how does your business relate to my ultimate goal? And if we can connect with people on that, and we actually have 7 habits that go with that super skill of connection that incorporate this connection with our people. Like the very first thing is, I have to engage with whoever is there. I got to engage them in my vision and how this applies to them. Then I have to educate them. I got to educate them to give them some buy-in is what I'm going. I'm trying to say, hey, this is who we are and what we're going to be. Then if I educate them, it gives them some buy-in, like, oh, okay, he's actually a man of his word. And then I set the example. And so all of these start with an E. I got engagement, education, example. So I set the example. I work as hard as I want other people to work. I don't ask anybody to do anything I'm not willing to do. I take the garbage out just like I hope anybody else in my company takes the garbage out. And then the next one is empathy, to actually understand that that person that's working for you doesn't have the same payoff that you do owning the business. And that they're at a different place. You have all this experience that they didn't have, and you now have them in a place working for you, doing something that you did before. And we tend to micromanage. We micromanage them because we know what the end result is, instead of empowering them and showing them how to do something, letting them fail and get to that point. I think of it as like having kids. Like, you can't like get rid of your kids, right? And so we have empathy, we have understanding, we let them fail, we let them make mistakes, and over time they learn. It's the same thing with any of our employees. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not such thing as bad employee, but I don't think we have nearly enough empathy for what they're going through at their time and place. They're brand new. They're just figuring this stuff out. Maybe a year of experience or two. And we're like, ah, you should have everything figured out. That's not really the case. But once they start to get that, right, like they're getting it down a little bit, then we want to encourage them. We start to see some results and their activity, and there's a little bit of results. I'm like, hey, good job. High fives. We tend to be more like, hey, they do something right 99 times in a row, and then the 100th time they mess it up. We're all over them. It's an hour-long conversation about how bad you did. And nobody said anything about how great of a job you did the other 99 times. When you don't get recognized for doing things well, and you only get recognized when things go poorly, you're in a bad culture. You don't want to be there anymore. But if you do follow that route, then you get to, now they're growing in your business. Like they're becoming something valuable in your business, and you can empower them. You get this ability to empower people to take ownership of something. And that doesn't mean taking a person that works for you and saying, okay, you do this job. Now I'm going to make you a manager. Like they take this big leap from doing the job to actually managing the people doing the job. Those are two completely different skill sets. And they tend to micromanage, like I talked about before, instead of like leading people. But if we give them little things, hey, I would like you to run this training class, or hey, I'd like you to put together this proposal for that. Like give them a little taste of what that leadership looks like. And over time, they'll grow into the position and probably be very effective. And then the last one, we call these the 7 E's of leadership, is to expect. We set those expectations from day one. We set these accountability measures in place. We should expect people to achieve them as long as they're reasonable. And in most cases, they are. And so we inspect what we expect. And if we hold people accountable to that, we get what we're looking for as leaders, which is respect. If we get that respect, we connect with people. And it's pretty amazing. Like you just do those 7 things over and over again. And amazingly enough, you connect with your people quite well.
Wow, that was great. I can't wait to read the book. That's valuable thinking, whether you're a contractor or any other kind of business or manager. So thank you for sharing that. We're going to take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsor. When we come back, just a minute, I want to ask you why it's so hard to find workers right now. Why is it so hard, especially it seems in the trades, to find good workers to help you grow your business? We'll be right back.
Looking for that next spark of inspiration to take your business to the next level? Thrive, the leading software for small business, presents Connect 21. The year's leading small business conference for entrepreneurs like yourself will feature some of today's most successful business leaders, industry pioneers, and software experts. Hear from a lineup of inspirational speakers, including Ramon Ray, founder of SmartHustle.com and author of 4 books, including Celebrity CEO, and Jonathan Morris, Texas-based entrepreneur and host of the newest show from Magnolia Network, Self-Employed. You'll have the opportunity to participate in educational breakout sessions with small business experts and leading executives from Merrill Lynch, AudioEye, and others. So grab a cup of coffee and join us for this virtual interactive event on November 10th and 11th. This is the small business conference you won't want to miss. Register now at www.thrive.com/connect. That's thryv.com/connect. Come to connect. Leave inspired.
We're back with Jim Johnson, Contractor Coach Pro, and just a fascinating discussion about leadership and how to help contractors get from some of the problems they may be having to being successful businesses that can replicate and grow. So I was talking to you before about leadership and how to motivate and grow your employee base, but it seems so hard right now to get workers in the first place. We hear maybe it's this moment in time with the economy we have, but it seems like it's very hard to find workers. Why do you think that? Well, is it true and why?
I think it's true to a point. And what I mean by that is just in general, socially and culturally in this country, things have changed a bit over these last couple of years. You have this crazy pandemic thing. There's been some enablement and entitlement, things that get into place. Like I deal with this every day on a daily basis. People struggling with hiring people. It's the number one reason why people come to us, to be honest with you. We want to recruit and hire people. And that all goes back to the beginning. Like, they want to do that, but I ask them, okay, so if you want to do that and you're going to hire somebody, exactly how are you going to train them? And everything stops right there. They're like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, do you have a training program for them? Do you have the tools for them? Do you have a handbook that they can follow? Is there a roadmap and a pathway and a journey to their success that's defined and those expectations are already set? And if you do have that, how are you going to produce all this stuff, whatever it is that you do as a contractor, that you're going to train these people to do? Do you have all those things in place? And so it all walks backwards along that line of this contractor's blueprint that, hey, if I can produce it all, exactly how am I going to sell it? Like, how are we going to sell that thing that we do? And if we're going to sell that thing, how are we going to market and get the lead for all these people that we're going to sell things in a unique way? And then before that, what technology are we going to use to manage all that? So there's all those questions that I would ask people a little bit about why they're struggling with getting new people, because you think about who we're hiring today. You're not hiring Jim Johnson. You're probably not hiring Gordon either. Like, first off, we've got jobs and we're probably doing pretty well at them. But the vast majority of the workforce is under 30 years old. And they have a way that they grew up that was probably significantly different than the way Gordon and I, we didn't grow up with cell phones and stuff like that and Facebook and all these other things. And opportunity. I think there's more opportunity in America than there's ever been. I mean, come on, kids are making money just playing video games on YouTube. It's crazy. It doesn't even compute to me. Like, how would you make money doing that? So when we don't give the workforce a place to come to work that has purpose behind it, like if your whole purpose is to do what you do, like let's say you're a roofing contractor and your whole purpose is to put roofs on people's houses, I can't remember any kid sitting in high school going, man, I can't wait to sell roofing, right? Or I can't wait to do HVAC, or I can't, like, none of them were thinking about it. They were thinking about astronauts and athletes and all that other stuff. And so there's not enough purpose behind what we do. But imagine if you just tilted that just a little bit, it changed the perspective just a little bit. For example, with our business, our purpose is to empower people to believe. That's what our real job is. We empower our contractors to believe that they can actually do something that they thought they couldn't before. We empower them to believe in us as their guide. And hopefully, through all that, we empower people to maybe believe there's a higher power out there, and which drives everything we do. You can see it in our culture. Our core values are to love, serve, and care. Like, if you have any kind of religious slant to you, you see that those two things are lined up. And so when people get to know us and who we are, we become magnetic to folks that are aligned with that, because they see that we're doing more than just coaching contractors how to make a bunch of money. We're coaching contractors and human beings how to be better people. And whenever we do that, we have impact and effective change throughout not just that contractor's business, but an industry, maybe even a nation. And who knows, if we keep doing what we're doing, maybe the world. And so, man, that sounds like something I want to be a part of. We have contractors that do all kinds of amazing things. One in the Northeast is a great example. Is their whole purpose of doing what they do is to provide pets to terminally ill cancer children in hospitals. That's why they do what they do. It's not to do anything else. Yes, they want to make money and they want to do great things along those lines and be a good business, but they're doing it all because of that thing. And so we've got to get purpose in our businesses before we can start to say, hey, there's not enough people out there. Now, those people that are out there, how do we become magnetic to them? We got to share that purpose and that culture in the real world. That's how they take in information today. They take in information through Twitter and Facebook, YouTube. And so we should share what that looks like to the world. And I just think that sometimes it just doesn't fit the character of the contractor. Like, man, I don't want to be on Facebook. I don't want to do all that stuff. It's not all that hard to shoot a 60-second video of you helping some homeowner get a roof on their house or new siding or put a new bath in or whatever it is that you do that transforms their life, makes it different, makes it better in some way, form, or fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. You know, I want to sort of just pick up on that and talk a little bit about the customer experience. our company, Thrive, our parent company, makes a CRM product for small businesses that allows them to build a customer database and basically connect with their customers using today's technology. So, you know, I know who you are. I know your name, address. I have a history of the jobs I've done for you. I have a history of the emails and texts that we've corresponded. And I'm able to continue to know what are your needs and stay in touch with you. So I remind you that it's time for the spring cleaning or fixing up the roof, you know, before the winter or whatever the case may be. I'm able to sort of know what your needs are and connect with you before the job, during the job, and after the job in the future. And I'm surprised as a consumer, I use a guy for landscaping, I use a guy for roofing, so on and so forth, how many contractors just seem to kind of forget about you either in between jobs or after the job. You know, you never hear from them again. And it seems like such an opportunity that's wasted to stay in touch with people. And also just to do the basics of making the customer experience good, like answering a phone call, you know, just a simple thing like you send an email and the guy doesn't get back to you or he doesn't get back to you for weeks. Is that something that you see? Do you recommend any particular technology? And am I right that this is an area that seems ripe for improvement?
What's the super skill of leadership? Connection. And that's what people are looking for. People are looking for a connection in our world today. They're looking for recognition of existence. Like, I recognize that you actually exist on this planet and you're important to me. And whenever you're able to do that, you bring them into your story. And that story is not just about you, it's about them as well and what you might be able to do for them and that you want them to be in your community. Like, we talk about our community all the time, our Contractor Coach Pro community. We have a very, you can define our community. They're an elite group of contractors, or at least contractors that want to be elite. They're not necessarily focused on the bottom line. While that is a side benefit, it actually happens regardless, right? Like, we're going to make great money. It's because of what we're doing in the business that gives us those results. And so this ability to connect, software like Thrive, fantastic. I think everybody should have something like that that's connected to their website, their CRM systems, that allows them to keep that connection going. Even whenever you're doing those bigger projects, that may not be something that I do right away again. Like you mentioned roofing. I mean, how often do you get a roof put on your house, right? Maybe 15, 20 years in the best case. But if I stay connected to you and I stay involved with you and I share with you the cool purpose-driven passion stuff that we're doing, our story, and it's not like I'm beating you over the head with it. It's just staying top of mind. Like, hey, whenever I think of roofing, I think of those guys. The next time that thing comes up in conversation with one of their buddies, I mean, you think about it, whoever did your roof last time, could you name who they are? Do you know who they are? You don't know who they are, right? Like, most people wouldn't. Now, my roofing company was different. If it came up to somebody, they would say, hey, CRSI did my roof. You got to talk to those guys. They're amazing. And even to the individual sales guy sharing on his Facebook and his Twitter and his social media outlets, we have a lot of them that we coach their sales teams and things like that. And they're sharing all the time just the cool stuff they're doing. So that way their circle all knows, it's top of mind to them that, hey, if somebody asked me about roof, I'm going to think of Jim. And so they go, oh, you got to talk to my guy, Jim. That guy, all he does is talk about roofing. So you should get with him. And no matter what you do, I don't care what it is, broadcast it, make it who you are and what you're about, if you're truly passionate about it.
Yeah, no, that's a great recommend. As you say, I mean, even if you're not putting on another roof yourself, everybody knows somebody who's, you know, building a house or re-roofing or doing something where they could use help and are probably in the process of selecting.
Well, think about it. I mean, we come in contact with people every day. Yeah. I am not in the construction industry anymore. My company, we did roofing, siding, gutters, windows, concrete, a variety of different things. And I was in constant recruiting mode, always, no matter who, like guy at the car wash, my waiter, whoever it was, I came in contact, guy at Best Buy, like, man, you were really good, but how much do you do okay? Are you happy doing what you're doing? Let me tell you about this opportunity over here. Yeah. And I recruited 11 people so far this year, and I haven't owned a roofing company for several years. I just passed them out to my contractors that we work with.
Yeah.
It's if you truly believe in what you do and you're passionate about it, you want to share it with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. We just have a few minutes left. I do want to ask you one or two kind of more, I guess, personal. First of all, I know you're a big reader. I think it says on your website, your hobbies are reading, reading, and reading. Give us a couple of recommendations of either business books or books you recommend to people for contractors. What are some of the things on your list?
One of my favorite books ever, and this book has been around for a long time, it was life-changing for me, was a book called Freakonomics. You ever read that book?
Sure.
And it's not really like a business book. It's understanding humans and what we're all about. Yeah. And this idea of incentive, right? Like if I can't get somebody to do what I want them to do, there's something wrong with the incentive. Like there's not a good enough reason for them to do it. And this book really breaks it down quite well. It'll change how you look at your business. Another one that's really good, I'm going to try and name ones that aren't the most common ones you would hear all the time. Leadership and Self-Deception. A great book, absolutely great book. A lot of people think they're great leaders. And so if you think you're a great leader, go read that book. It could be enlightening to you that maybe there's some room for improvement. It's one of those things like, I don't consider myself a great leader. I got a long ways to go, a lot of skills to learn. I can get better and better each and every day. And we tend to get self-deceived by the fact that we're in a role and that makes us a leader. Unless a bunch of people are following you, you're not a very good leader. So if you have a lot of turnover, a lot of drama in your business, you're out there wondering why people don't want to work for you, I would suggest reading that book. It's a good book.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you for those recommendations. Well, we're just about out of time. I do want to make sure, Jim, that people know where they can find you. So what's the best place for listeners to look you up? Should they website or?
You can go to our website, contractorcoachpro.com, and there's actually a button on there. It's an assessment button, and it does an assessment of your business. And if you take that assessment, you'll get a link right back to you that has our calendar on it. You can set up a free coaching call. It doesn't cost you anything. And it is an actual coaching call, not a sales pitch. We're there to help you that day so you can see what a coaching call is actually like and how coaching actually works. And our goal is to give you two or three things that you can actually apply that day to improve your business. If you like what we do, great, work with us. If you don't, that's fine too. We hope we helped you do a little bit better in your business.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you for that. And thanks for joining us today. This was great to have you, really educational and inspiring.
Oh, and don't forget Contractor Radio. Go and subscribe and download and all that other good stuff. We do a lot of sharing on there. Have some great guests, just like you do. This is awesome. I've really enjoyed myself.
Yeah, great. So thank you again. And if you out there listening to this enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to our podcast, Winning on Main Street, and tell a friend or colleague to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. We would really appreciate it. Until next time, make it a great week.